What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, Producer Ramon?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
Good. We're going to have a surprise Christmas carol when we come back from 7-1.
Is that what that is?
It's a surprise, yeah. We don't actually start playing Christmas music, no. Morgan Thomas. We don't play Christmas music at Thanksgiving, Morgan Thomas.
I think he just said that because he knew that was his last show.
Yeah, that's right. He's trying to jam Christmas music in because it was his last show. Yeah. But we don't do that, Morgan Thomas. We don't start playing Christmas music at Thanksgiving time. It's not what we do. We have a week of Christmas music that's select group of songs that we play then. So this is out of our norm. But the reason will become apparent once we get there. What is to Texter 230 on Garrett Riley? I think so. Brooke the Milady says, happy IDGF day. I guess so. We have tons to get to, okay? We have Clemson recruiting class to get to. We have a college football championship games. We have college football playoff. We have what should, what shouldn't be. Let me just say this at the start of this show, though. I am astonished at the lack of attention Ohio State and Indiana is getting. Because this is the greatest championship game we've ever seen. Ever. It's better than anything the SEC has ever offered us. It's better than anything the Big 10 has offered us in the past. It's better than anything anybody's offered us. And yet we don't act that way. We act like it's just a run-of-the-mill championship game. These are two teams that have been 1-2 for a long time. They have both been invincible. They've both been incredibly dominant. They're two terrific football teams who have crushed everybody in their path, virtually everybody in their paths. And for some reason, this game, I mean, we have the two leading contenders for the Heisman Trophy, apparently. I mean, I think Pavia should absolutely be in that mix. Of course, I want that for my own personal reasons, too. But it's conceivable that in Mendoza and Sayan, we have the two leading candidates for the Heisman Trophy. We have two of the three top receiving groups in the country, maybe the two top receiving groups in the country. It's not just Ohio State that has receivers. They both have great receivers. Texas says, is it because college football has devalued the conference championships? I don't know why it is. I actually think it's because there's still a segment of the populace that doesn't believe in Indiana. I think that's what it is. I think that Ohio State's been so dominant, and people just think are still sort of living in the past, thinking, well, you know, it's Indiana, you know, but this is not Indiana. This Indiana went to Oregon and kicked their A. I think Oregon can win the national championship. I think this is the best team that Lanning has had. This is by far the best defense Lanning has had. You can't run on them. Indiana went to Oregon and kicked their butt. In the second half, they dominated that game. Dominated. I mean, they held Oregon. And Oregon had all the receivers then. They held Oregon to 40 yards in the second half of that game. 40. In a game that Oregon was trailing, Indiana kept all three linebackers on the field. Indiana's the only team in the nation that's basically playing base defense with three linebackers on the field all the time, even when they're leading, even against a passer as dynamic as Moore with a group of receivers as dynamic as Oregon has. I mean, that's unbelievable. But that's what they did. And so, I mean, I think if you actually have eyes wide open, look, you have to throw out this Father's Oldsmobile stuff. I mean, Indiana and Texas Tech are clearly two of the four best teams in the country. Any way you want to stack them. And look, Ohio State may win this game. Ohio State's a great team, and they're really well coached, and they have weapons everywhere. And maybe, you know, maybe we'll get to this point in Indiana not having played at this level before. Maybe, you know, although they did get to the playoff last year, maybe we'll see that maybe they're still not quite ready for this step. I don't know. We're going to find out together. But there's nothing I've seen this year that would make me think that. I think they think they're going to win. And I think their defense is every bit as good as Ohio State's. Those linebackers are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Actually, they're unbelievable for both sides. Unbelievable for both sides. But I don't know why. Let me tell you something. If this was the SEC championship game and it had the SEC propaganda network behind it, this game would be ballyhooed as the greatest game of all time. This is the best championship game on paper that we have ever seen. It's not even close. Not even close. Nothing the SEC has ever offered us is close to this. Sorry, it just isn't. These two teams are super elite. They're both unbeaten. They've crushed everybody in their pass all year. They're 1-2 for a reason. It's an unbelievable championship game. Just absolutely incredible. And yet, for whatever reason, it's not getting the attention that it deserves. And somehow, Alabama and Georgia is seemingly getting more attention. I guess that's because of the propaganda network. When the reality is, Alabama nor Georgia are beating either one of those teams if they match up with them. I mean, Ohio State would kill either one of those teams. Indiana would whip either one of those teams. I just think that's obvious to me. So we'll see. I mean, it's odd. It's odd. Robert in Georgia says, "Dang, Walt, I was planning on calling in on this very subject. You've stolen my thunder." Well, call in. Double down. Make the point. Because I think that's what's happening. Texter says, "This will be better than the national championship." I'm thinking that too. I'm thinking it's going to be sort of a classic game in which you have two dominant defenses and yet two Heisman-leading quarterbacks with great receiving corps. It seems, despite the level of offense, that it will be more of a defensive game. But both teams have enough juice that I still think they're going to score some points. I mean, I think it's a game that's played in the 20s. I don't know what the total is on it. I would think that the total's probably like 48, 50, somewhere in that range. Haven't seen it, but I would think that's what the total on the game is. And I think it's going to play out in that range. I mean, 24-21 wouldn't surprise me. 27-24 wouldn't surprise me. I'm probably leaning more towards like 24-21, something in that range, regardless of what direction that plays out in. But I think it's going to be it's just an unbelievable game, and I'm just surprised that it's not, as Texter said, this may actually be the national championship game, except it's not going to count that way. Tex said, Bama, Florida with Tebow Ingram. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, look, I can think of some that compare, but I just think the level of dominance of both these teams, and you know, the other team to me that has been equally dominant is Texas Tech. I think that Texas Tech is 100% legitimate. Now, again, they've never been on the stage either, and we'll see what they do. I think you're going to get a really motivated BYU because Satake came back. So I don't think it's going to be a Texas Tech blowout this time. But the reality is that team has blown out every team they faced but one. I mean, 11 wins and all 11 wins by 22 points or more. You'd have a hard time finding another team that's done that. Any time in college football, all 11 wins by 22 points or more. Find me that, and that includes BYU and Utah, two of the top 15 teams in the country. That includes them. They beat both of them. In fact, BYU was exactly 22. That was 29-7. But most of their games have been by 40, because as I've said all year, nobody can block them. We have some newfangled teams at the top of this. At the top of this mix, and I think people are counting those teams sort of out based on history. I'm not sure you ought to be doing that based on this year and based on the quality of those two teams, because there's just no doubt in my mind that Indiana and Texas Tech are among the four best teams in the country. There's no doubt in my mind. And I think Indiana's going to give Ohio State all they can handle. And they might win. I think it's conceivable they win the game. I think that the teams are – I really think the teams are sort of mirror images. I don't see much that separates them at all. I mean, I think that both teams are incredible defensively. I think both teams have great quarterbacks. Both teams have great wide receiving groups. You know, look, when I look at the best receiving corps in the country, I think that Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon when healthy, which they haven't been recently, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon when healthy, USC, I think those are the best receiving groups in America. That group right there. That group right there. And so Indiana really can match Ohio State's firepower, at least on paper. And they certainly can match them defensively on paper as well. Again, find me another team that could go to Oregon, to Outson Stadium, and hold that team to 40 yards in the second half when that team was healthy. It was the singular best half of football that any team played in America this year. It's not even close. Not even close. Texas Tech probably has some halves that might be close. But to go on the road to that stadium, very difficult for opponents to go in there and face a loaded and healthy Oregon team. And again, it wasn't just that they won. I think they won by 10, but it wasn't just that they won. It's how they won. It's the most amazing thing I've seen in college football in recent years. It really was. They kept three linebackers on the field. They ran a base defense. Nobody does that against anybody, let alone Oregon. They kept three linebackers on the field when Dante Moore, who's perhaps going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, when Dante Moore and that whole receiving corps was trailing and Indiana knows they're going to throw and they still kept three linebackers and stayed in a base defense the entire second half and they stoned them. They friggin' stoned them out of a base defense because those linebackers are the most in harmony, in sync core of linebackers I've seen in college football in 20 years. I'm not saying they're the best group talent-wise. I'm saying that they are, when you consider their talent level and then you add in their level of coaching, it's insane. It's like they're, you know, you have these like synchronized swimming or whatever it is, synchronize this, synchronize that. It's like the Indiana group of linebackers are perfectly synchronized all the time. They just don't make mistakes, and they are everywhere the football is. So we are headed for a remarkable football game. I mean, I don't see any way around that. It's perfectly conceivable that that one of these two teams wins the national championship and or that we see these two teams play again. I mean, I think they've been that good. They've been that dominant in everything they've done. And I will be surprised if we don't get an incredible game. I think that's what we're headed for. So I'm excited about all championship games. I like to see them just in general. Again, if they take them away, I'll be fine with that too. But for the time being, we have them, and I'll be watching all of them. But I am really looking forward to Indiana and Ohio State because I think it's arguably the best championship game we will ever see, and at least on paper, going into this thing. And I don't think either team is going to disappoint. I think they're both good. I think it's going to be a really well played, incredibly well coached, hard played, hard fought football game, and I think someone's losing by three. That's what I think is going to happen. And I don't even know which side that's going to be because I think Indiana is going to prove they can play with Ohio State. I think that they learned a lot about themselves in the second half out at Austin. Brandon, I'm coming to you. You can get in if you want. We have Clemson football recruiting to cover. We're still covering the recruiting class. We'll cover all the conference championship games. I want to talk about all the possibilities in the playoffs, what may or may not happen, Notre Dame, Miami, etc. It's all coming your way on Road Rage today. A very busy show. You can get in if you'd like. Brandon, you'll be up first. Walt up to the Road Rage. Quick break. Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
Keeping your commercial roof in its best condition keeps your business running. Adams & Co. understands how important your business is to our community, your family, and your employees.
Whether you have shingle, silicone, TPO, metal, or a bitumen roof,
we not only repair current damage and leaks, but can also offer a free roof inspection to help catch small issues before they become a big problem. 864-260-0080. Call Adams & Co. for all your commercial roofing needs. Adams & Co., making a difference one roof at a time.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Mail is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch? Not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Mail today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Mail, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMail.com.
The holiday season is here, and Elkmont is counting the days to Christmas with a special sales offering for each of the 24 days of Christmas. Items will be added daily and posted on Elkmont's Facebook and Instagram pages. Elkmont has all the brands you love, like On Clouds, Birkenstock, Extra Tough, Patagonia, Z-Supply, Filson, Columbia, Maui Jims, Costa, and so much more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Merry Christmas.
Looking for expert tree care in the upstate? Call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner for quality tree work and more. Whether it's tree removal, trimming, stump grinding, or storm damage cleanup, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their certified team is committed to making your yard safe and beautiful. And as a proud longtime partner of the Roar, you know Franklin Tree Service is a name you can trust in the upstate. Affordable, reliable, and fully insured. Call Franklin Tree Service today at 864-947-9065.
Hey, it's Esme Carter with Spectrum Paint, your independent and family-owned paint source with locations in Clemson, Greenville, Spartanburg, and Landrum. Shop the widest array of brands at Spectrum Paint, including Benjamin Moore Paints, Pittsburgh Paints, Rust-Oleum, Graco, Roma Bio, Ready Seal, Renner Wood Coatings, and more. Projects large and small, whether professionals or do-it-yourselfers, we have the coating, supplies, and expertise to take care of you. Visit us at SpectrumPaint.com to find the location nearest you or connect with our local sales team.
Yoder's Building Services is your locally trusted family-owned building supply company, serving the upstate since 1986 with lumber, windows and doors, roofing and decks, siding, and more for homeowners and contractors. And when it comes to windows and doors, Yoder's is proud to partner with Anderson Windows and Doors, known for unmatched quality, durability, and energy efficiency. Whether you're replacing a few windows or building your dream home from the ground up, visit Yoder's Building Services. More information on Anderson Windows and Doors today.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Happy birthday! Hey, I said my first words. But snowmen can't talk. All right, come on now. What's the joke? Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words. I can move. I can juggle. I can sweep. I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6, 8. Well, I can count to five. What do you know? I'm even ticklish. In fact, I'm all living. I am alive. What a neat thing to happen to a nice guy like me.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Oh, when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Yeah.
So are you going to explain all that?
Yeah. He was very alive, Ramona.
Yeah.
Jackie Vernon, the dude who originally played the voice of Frosty the Snowman, he was very alive. In fact, he had children with three different women at the same time, it turns out. Yeah, Frosty the Snowman. Apparently, and by the way, this dude looks a little like Frosty the Snowman, but he was having children with three different women at the same time, unbeknownst to his wife and his original family at the time. One of his sons from his wife's, from the wife marriage, later met one of the other sons who was older than he was. And the other part of it, Ramona, is the reason he needed to count, because he had a lot of children to count. And it turns out that they were all named Ralph. Because his original name was Ralph Verone, and he named all the kids after himself.
He named all his kids Ralph?
They were all Ralphs, yes. He had. So Frosty was getting busy. It wasn't. He didn't just have a carrot for a nose, Ramona.
Oh my God! He had secret wives.
Yeah, he had secret. No, he had secret other women with which he was fathering children.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They were all named Ralph.
Now,
here's the thing, Ramona. That's probably a wise strategy when you think about it.
What is?
That he named them all Ralph.
Well, yeah, so you don't mess them up.
Right. It lessens the confusion.
He's in the wrong household.
Right. So, yeah. So if you say to your wife, doesn't Ralph have a basketball game today? And she says, no, Ralph doesn't have a basketball game. She's not going to catch on to anything.
Because,
you know, it's still Ralph. So it was an effective strategy. And you have to remember, Ramona, at that time, there was no technology. There was no social media. There was no way to track anything. So Frosty was living his best life. And this dude looks sort of like Frosty. Okay. There's no pull there. Okay. So it wasn't magic. Apparently, Ramona, it must have been a really big thing to be Frosty the Snowman at one time.
Famous, I guess.
Yeah. Famous. Yeah. Frosty the Snowman. Yeah. So Frosty was happy about more than just his hat and more than just coming.
His kids aren't listed.
What do you mean they're not listed?
You know, when you go to Wikipedia or whatever.
Oh, they're not?
It lists the spouses.
It doesn't list them at all?
It lists the spouses and well, doesn't list the kids.
Well, this information just came out yesterday.
Oh, okay, so I have to check in a week.
Yeah, check in a week.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised nobody.
Wow.
I'm surprised nobody has updated it as yet. But yeah, he had lots of sons. He also abandoned all those families, by the way. He moved on. Yeah, Frosty.
Way to go, Frosty.
Frosty had to move on, Ramona, because, you know, the weather gets warmer and there's other Ralphs to father.
I can't like George Foreman.
It is. It's like George.
His kids like all
yeah,
George?
All George. It's like George Foreman, except as far as we know, George Foreman just had the wife with one wife.
Yeah.
And
they,
all the kids were actually hers.
Just came out.
Yeah.
He passed away in 87, and this is just coming out.
Yeah. Well, his son is, one of his sons is where the information is all coming from. So apparently he's had enough of this reputation of, you know, he apparently didn't want to see another Frosty edition that they drag up at holiday time
and hear
dad's voice thinking about
all the other
Ralphs. Right. All the other Ralphs. So, yeah, that's in true Christmas spirit. That's why we play that reach.
I know.
Tonight.
I was like, I didn't know what you were doing.
I know you had no idea.
I had no idea.
I know you had no idea. So this guy, again, this guy's name.
Well, Frosty wasn't real good at counting, if you notice.
No, that's what, see, that's the thing. He couldn't count.
So neither was this guy.
Yeah, he couldn't count
how many kids he had.
Yeah, there was some other tell there. There was some other tell in that list of things that Frosty did. But but Frosty was getting busy, like all over the place. And it was his son, David Vernon, who revealed he learned of his father's past during a surprise visit to the family home from an unexpected guest during his youth. So they had a surprise visit from one of the other Ralphs.
This guy, David, that's not Ralph. I don't understand.
That was the original. That's his name now, but. Again, they were all Ralphs. So he had nothing.
So he ran across one.
Yeah. He ran across a Ralph, and they
started talking about who his dad was.
Right.
And he said, "Oh, that's my dad too."
Right. Now look, you see the picture of this guy, right?
Yeah, I see him. He looks a little roly-poly, snowman,
like Frosty. It's sort of like hard to imagine, you know, him father. But we also don't know. We don't see the women, you know, so we don't know. We don't. But lots of Ralphs, apparently, and that's the true legacy of Frosty the Snowman. The true legacy is, so when they run this Ramona at Christmas time,
and they will over and over.
You know, perhaps I should have offered a warning before I started this segment. Think about it. You wonder, Ramona, when they run the credits at the end of the show, will they all be Ralphs?
Yeah, they're all going to be Ralphs.
Ralph. Brandon in Georgia, and then Robert in Georgia. Brandon, how are you, Brandon?
Hey, Walt, I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you getting in.
A quick question before we get to the playoffs. I don't know if you've seen the John Gruden video yet about his opinion of the playoffs and how it may could be set up to kind of test the teams a little bit more before they set up the 12 teams. But going to Tennessee football, do you think Josh Heupel is the answer there for Tennessee? I'm a Vols fan, and every year it just seems like we can't win any games against ranked teams. We're only beating the ones that are not ranked. And I've heard Heupel may be one of the possibilities of an interview at Penn State. And I don't know if you've heard that or.
Well, the Penn State thing is over because they've hired Matt Campbell.
Okay.
So, so that won't happen. As far as Heupel's concerned, okay. I have mixed feelings on Heupel. I've watched his teams forever. They lack discipline. And when he was at Central Florida, they really lacked discipline too. So I have mixed feelings on him. And quite honestly, when you look at him, he lacks discipline. I mean, he was a quarterback not all that long ago. Now he looks like Bielma. You know, I mean, I just I don't think that's a positive. It says something to me that's not positive. And you know, he lost a lot of personnel from last year. You know, you had the whole Nico mess. I don't know. I think you have to give him more time and see what he can do. I think he's a pretty bright offensive mind. You know, he basically runs Art Briles' old offense, and that offense was incredibly dynamic. He does a lot of the same things. He believes in a running game. I think losing Sampson didn't help to the NFL, obviously. But I think you need to give him a little more time before you make any final judgment on him because, again, you know, we've seen what's happened with a lot of these schools who dismiss coaches. They are not winding up with better options. They're winding up with worse options. You know, and you've, by the way, you've had a lot of worse options, okay? You've had a whole laundry list of worse options leading up to Heupel.
And Aguilar, does he have another year of eligibility? I know he's listed as a senior, but I know with Pavia, is Aguilar going to fall into the same boat?
I can't.
Him to come back?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I don't know. Everything that we've seen as far as the whole Pavia situation, it really hasn't translated to anybody else. So I'll have to look into the Aguilar situation. I actually thought he played pretty well. You did not have the running game yet a year ago, and the defense
was
enjoyed
him a lot better than I did Nico.
Yeah, I think he played better.
Have you seen the Gruden? Have you seen that John Gruden video?
I've not.
As far as what he
– What's he
– Okay, if you get a chance.
What's he suggesting?
It's on X. It's on the X video, but John Gruden was saying that he would want to match up kind of hard to explain the way he kind of went into it, but if you get a moment to check it, it's a pretty popular video going around, but if you go to X and listen to it, if you get a moment today, I'd like to hear your comments on okay. how he thinks a playoff will be. But, I mean, it's pretty interesting, and I think you'd have a lot to say about it. But check it out if you get a chance, and I appreciate you taking my
Thank
call,
you,
and I'll check back in with you.
Yeah, good speaking Thank with you. You. You know, basically, I think John Gruden's an idiot, so I probably will not be a fan of whatever it is that he's promoting in that regard. I mean, I heard people talking about hiring him this cycle. That'd be the most insane thing ever. Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you, Robert?
You waited till the man got off the phone to say, personally, I think John Gruden's an idiot.
Well, I don't know what he said. I mean, I have no idea what Gruden said this time. Maybe he had some epiphany, and maybe what I'll find is that he offered some sheer brilliance. But I haven't heard any brilliance from John Gruden in a long time. I think he's just sort of a fake.
You ain't going to go searching for that video.
Yeah, I just think he's such a fake and phony. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, the guy actually talked about at one point that he practiced the slanted eyes because he wanted to have Clint Eastwood eyes. He actually talked about how he practiced that. Can you imagine that?
See, I don't need to hear that. Yeah. I actually used to like John Gruden. Yeah. But now,
yeah.
Let's talk about this Indiana-Ohio State game, Walt. But before we get into the game, let's talk about how before the season, I think these were about a month before the season, Indiana was plus 4,000 to win the Big Ten championship. Indiana was plus 20,000 to win the national championship. And Fernando Mendoza was plus 6,000 to win the Heisman.
Yeah. That part was for sure
dumb. Doesn't have gambling.
Yeah.
Say again.
Yeah. The Mendoza part was dumb. You know, I told you all along, round one NFL quarterback.
Yeah. So, now, one other thing before I move on to the game. You know, Walt, you talk a lot here lately, and rightfully so, about how important rushing attempts are. If any of the listeners want to go back, I know you probably realize this, and it'll jog your memory when I say this. If they want to go back and watch that Oregon-Indiana game, Oregon could not gain hardly a yard. They rushed the ball 33 times for like 110 or 120 yards. 33 times. Hemby ran it 19 times.
Yeah.
And averaged like 3 yards a carry. But they kept doing it.
Attempts.
Yeah. They just kept doing it. And it turned into something in the second half. In the first half, Oregon was stoning them in the run game. But they kept doing it.
Yeah. And that's how a run game works. You have to stay dedicated to it. Yep.
Yeah, that game is a perfect example of what you talk about. Walt, man, I hope you're right. I hope this turns into a great game. I think Indiana's going to win, and I think it's going to come down to turnovers because Indiana is first in turnover margin. Ohio State's like in the 30s. You got a young quarterback for Ohio State. You've got an experienced, awesome defensive coordinator for Indiana that's going to throw some things at him that I'm not sure he's seen this year. And I think it's going to come down to mistakes. And also, I think maybe there might be a little home field advantage for Indiana. I know these tickets are sold years in advance, but I just got to believe that there's going to be some Indiana fans trying to get into Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, I'll tell you how Ohio State got better during the year is a lot of that has to do with Bo Jackson, because when the year began, my concern was they didn't have a running game. And I think as the year went on, Bo Jackson became sort of a star for them, and that changed the nature of who they were. Because, again, a year ago when they won the national championship, they had two elite running backs led by Henderson, and Judkins. And when this year began, I didn't like their transfer portal running backs. I really wondered about it, and then Bo Jackson really came on during the course of the year. By the way, he's not related to the Bo Jackson, just so people know. He was named after him. But I think that we are headed for an all-time classic. I would be really disappointed if this game does not deliver. I expect it will.
I think you're right. The total on that game is 47 and a half, by the way.
I said 48.
I think you're dead on all of it, man. I hope you're right. But I think it comes down to turnovers. I got a few picks here right quick I want to get in, and then I'll get off.
And by the way, Robert, with Indiana, I expect to see the same thing on Indiana that they did against Oregon. I think they're keeping those three linebackers on the field. That's their base defense, and that's what they play. And again, they didn't. I just want to emphasize, I have not seen this anywhere else in college football this year. They kept those three dudes on the field while leading in the second half on the road at Outson. They did not go to nickel. They did not go to dime. They stayed base with Oregon trailing and having to throw. They stayed base, and they stoned them. They stoned them. And so that's going to be the challenge for Bo Jackson, is that he's not going to be running against favorable defensive fronts. He's going to be running against three linebackers.
Right, that's absolutely right, and I'm not sure, because we've all become so conditioned to see certain types of defense, I'm not sure people understand exactly or grasp, what you're saying when you're talking about leaving three linebackers on the field.
It's insane. It's not done anymore in the world of college football, especially in that situation. Again, Oregon, one of the four best receiving groups in the country, arguably the guy at quarterback is going to be the number one pick in the draft, right, in their building, and Oregon is trailing, which means they have to throw, and you still keep three linebackers on the field. It's almost like you're saying to them, look, you can't beat us.
That's absolutely right. Or at least they're saying, look, I'm Brian Haynes, and you're not going to out-scheme me. I don't care who I have on the field.
And what's unbelievable, Robert, again, is the choreography, I'll call it, of those linebackers. I mean, they just they are so insanely well-coached. Everything they do is like in perfect harmony, and they just don't make mistakes.
Yeah, it's just like a quarterback and a group of receivers that spend all offseason playing and throwing and knowing what each other is thinking. The linebackers on that defense are the exact same way. They know, they don't even have to look and see, or they just know where each one's going to be. I mean, listen, Julian Sain hasn't seen anything he's seen.
No,
he's going to see.
That's a fact.
He's just not. And I think turnovers are going to play.
Right.
Kennesaw State, -2.5. Troy, +23.5. BYU, +12.5. Georgia, -2.5. And Indiana, +4. Walt, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert. I'm really scared because I think I had all those same plays. Quick break.
How many times have you told yourself, I'll get that weight loss journey started after the holidays? How many times have you actually done it? Well, everyone says they're going to start after the holidays. It doesn't get done. And that's why PhD Weight Loss is making it easy to start now, before the new year, with 2 free weeks added to your program. That's a 2-week head start, so you're not rolling into January feeling behind. I joined PhD Weight Loss when I was at the busiest season of my year, and I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks, and the transition was much smoother and much better for me than I could have ever imagined. PhD's metabolic reset system taught me to burn fat first without drug starvation diets or endless workouts, and they can do the same for you. When you mention 2 weeks on the phone, they'll waive your consultation fee and pay for the cost of your food during the program. There's no reason to repeat your past mistakes. Call PhD today and start 2026 already ahead at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com. Enjoy elevated living at Sunrise in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson, starting in the mid-300s. Customized versatile 1- and 2-story home plans with luxury design selections in their 3,900-square-foot design studio. The pool amenity opens next year, along with natural walking trails. Live close to Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi, shopping in Anderson, and enjoy quick access to I-85. Sunrise encompasses convenience and lifestyle in a convenient location. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com to discover elevated living in the upstate.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit IndustrialMotorService.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The only place for sports talk of the upstate is right here, every day. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome to the Red Rage. We are back, man. We have miles to cover today. It's all going to be hardcore, except for one other thing. Joe in Virginia. Joe, how are you, Joe? Good to have you.
How's it going? Well,
good, Joe.
You know, something funny happened up here in Virginia. It's making the rounds. I don't know if you saw it. A raccoon busted into a liquor store.
Yeah.
And then got drunk and locked himself in a bathroom.
Yeah, we talked a little about that yesterday. It was flat out on the floor. Yep.
Yeah, I guess that's the embodiment of our spirit animal for our season, you know, just crash and burn, you know. But as far as, you know, this weekend goes, I kind of think Indiana's going to win, but I'm also thinking, like, Ryan Day's brilliant, you know. Cignetti's brilliant. I still think Ohio State has a slight edge as far as overall talent, but I think Ohio State's going to win by three in a thriller.
That all sounds logical to me. That all sounds perfectly plausible to me. In fact,
I also think
that's probably how I see it too.
I think they'll, depending on how the bracket goes, I think they'll play again for the national championship, because I still think, you know, those are the two best teams across the board. I think the Big Ten is clearly the best league in the country. You know, Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, even like whoever wins between Georgia and Alabama, they still have wards.
Yeah, if you ask me who the most likely teams are to win the national championship, I think they are the three Big Ten teams,
mm-hmm.
Texas Tech, and maybe Notre Dame, who I think people are sleeping on because of that run game.
Texas Tech's statistical profile is amazing.
Yeah,
it's incredible. It really is.
Again, 11 wins, all by 22 points or more.
You know, one thing I was going to say just about this week with the whole thing with Lane Kiffin, I just kept on thinking about this, and I've been thinking about it for a while. You know, a lot of things are changing in this sport. A lot of people, some of these coaches just don't care. I just keep thinking of, like, coaches that do care. I think Willie Fritz not leaving Tulane to go, because they were in a bowl game for Georgia Tech. And then the way he conducts himself at Houston, he's doing a good job. His players graduate. Steve Spurrier saying, if you ever hit a woman, you're off the team. No questions asked.
Yeah.
You know. And then Dabo Swinney taking care of that young man that unfortunately passed away.
Yeah,
you know,
it was an incredible story. Tron.
Character matters in this sport. I still wonder if that's going to rise some of these teams to the top. Because if I'm in LSU, I know for a fact this guy doesn't care. He doesn't care, just like Kelly didn't care. And do I really want to go 100% all out on the goal line or sacrifice my body for this guy? I don't know. I don't know what that answer is, Walt. Because
that's a fair point.
I don't think I could.
I think I could. Yeah, I think they have hired two very suspect character guys in a row. Some might say more than two in a row.
I don't know. But at the end of the day, you're still asking young men to sacrifice their bodies for you, for your career, and you need to take care of them. And I don't think he did. I think leaving your team at 11-1. Honestly, I don't think I could look myself in the mirror. Appreciate it, Walt.
Yep, thank you, Joe. Yep, I think that's right. I think he's a slimy character. That's the bottom line. I think he always has been. I think he always will be. I think that's who he is. And again, according to all these reports, these reports are all saying he lied about everything. The players are saying he lied about everything, according to these reports. The highway department, the police are saying, state police are saying he lied about a vehicle allegedly trying to run him off the road. The state police have said that's false. They escorted him and said no such thing happened. So, I mean, he's a narcissist, and he sees everything only from his own perspective. And you know, if you believe all these reports, and I don't know why these people would lie, then someone's lying, all right? And I mean, what reason would the highway patrol have for lying? You know, again, they stated clearly that they escorted him and that no such attempt was made to run him off the road. That's just false, patently false. I mean, so just out of curiosity, why does he do it? Okay, so in other words, that's just a completely fabricated story. So what's his reason for fabricating the story? Why would you invent something like that? Well, the reason is because you are trying to control public sentiment. And you're trying to make it look like Ole Miss are the bad guys. That's what you're trying to do. And that's what he's done since the really... if you listen to some of these reports, you know, Eli Manning, and no one's going to accuse Eli Manning of lying, all right? Eli Manning said the week before he didn't go to any of the team meetings. That's what Eli Manning said. He said the week before the Mississippi State game, he didn't go to any of the team meetings. So, you know, you have numerous people who have no reason to lie, who are basically saying that everything that Lane Kiffin said and did was a lie, and including the state police. I mean, did he not consider the fact that the state police might shoot down his story? I guess he didn't. I guess he thought
he didn't think that would go, what?
Right.
We were there to protect and go
exactly
away.
Right. And just think about that on the surface. How would that be possible? If you're being escorted by the state police.
Yeah, that's what I was sitting there thinking. You can't.
How would it even be possible for somebody to try and run you off the road? They would have been arrested on the spot. There would have been a big story. It would have been everywhere. But so apparently, again, according to the state police and all these others, Eli Manning, everybody involved, they are all basically saying he lied about everything. So it does not surprise me. Now, Penn State has a coach, Ramona, finally. They have hired Matt Campbell. And Matt Campbell is a Jag. right? He is just a guy. That's all he is. It's all he's ever going to be. Is he better than a couple of these other candidates? Perhaps. He's better than Matt Rhule would have been. I'll take Matt Campbell over Matt Rhule. I'll take him over Kalani Sitake because Sitake is a better coach, but would have been a terrible fit at Penn State. That was just an outrageous reach by Penn State for a guy who's basically never been out of Utah, but for a cup of tea in the state of Oregon and Arizona, but has no connections at all in the East. And by the way, neither does Matt Campbell, for that matter. But basically, Penn State just hired their 17th choice. And in Matt Campbell, you know, they fired James Franklin because he couldn't beat Penn State. Well, they hired a guy who can't beat Iowa. So explain that to me. Okay, I'm lost. Quite frankly, Matt Campbell is coached in a down Big 12. Texas and Oklahoma are not a part of that league anymore. Bill Snyder isn't a part of that league anymore. It's a completely different league. And that's the league that Campbell has coached in. I don't hate Campbell. I think fundamentally Matt Campbell is a good human being, and you'll at least have that. But I think he's sort of a pedestrian coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I've never thought he was a great coach. I mean, I think he's 3-8 against Iowa. 3-8, I think it is. Whatever it is. So again, you got rid of a guy who. Because he allegedly couldn't beat Ohio State, and you hired a guy who can't beat Iowa. I'm sorry, you're the big loser there. Not to mention, Franklin's a great recruiter. Allegedly, there's funding issues with recruiting at Penn State. How is Matt Campbell going to recruit to Penn State? How? When has he been in that part of the country? I think it's another reach, but I do think, again, at least you hired a good person. I still think the whole situation was so mishandled that I just can't imagine they let Kraft continue to function as AD. I don't know how you can do that. I would have fired him. I would have fired him 2 weeks ago. I would have fired him on the day he fired James Franklin. If I was in control, and none of that would ever happen. I would have fired Kraft way before I fired Franklin. But they got their 17th choice. I think he's better than some of their choices would have been. Not most, but some. I think he's better than Matt Rhule because Matt Rhule's garbage. And I think he's probably better than Kalani Sitake because Kalani Sitake just would have been a hideous fit. And again, I like Sitake as a coach. I think that would have been a crazy fit. He recruits the Islands. How are you getting those dudes to Penn State? I don't know. It just would have been insane to me. But that was a desperate reach. And I think Campbell's a desperate reach. And it's not other people have been knocking on his door because you didn't hear his name in connection with any of these other openings. But, look, so is it the worst case ending for Penn State? No, not when you consider what they've been in the circle blank this cycle's been for them. Hey, let me tell you about Moretti's. If you're looking for a fast, delicious lunch spot right off I-385, Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden is the move. It's just a quick hop from downtown Greenville or Simpsonville. Exit onto Butler Road towards Malden. You're there in about a half a mile. Moretti's is serving authentic Buffalo New York style favorites. They hit perfectly at lunchtime. Their stone oven pizza has that thickness, that New York City crust, light, crisp, never doughy. And the buffalo wings, crispy, juicy, with that spicy, buttery kick that only real buffalo wings have. Grab them with some ranch or blue cheese while you're there. Of course, get the blue cheese. You're an American. If you want something heavy but quick, or hearty but quick, I should say, try their beef on whack. It's the thin sliced roast beef on a sea salt caraway bun with horseradish and odd juice piled high. It's a Buffalo classic and a power lunch favorite. It's awesome. And right now, you can make a kid's holiday brighter. How about this? Bring a toy for their holiday toy drive and get a free cocktail or dessert as a thank you from Moretti's. That's awesome. Moretti's has subs, sandwiches, wraps, burgers, salads, calzones, pasta, and more, plus a full bar and great sports vibe, including the famous Little John Coliseum table. So for your next lunch, skip the drive through, hit Moretti's, 783 East Butler Road in Walden, just minutes off of I-385. Moretti's, the perfect lunch spot where everyone's a regular, and bring a toy for their holiday toy drive. It comes back to you. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Be part of a winning team that's making a difference in your community at Arthrex. From creating thousands of new jobs and significant campus expansions to fostering educational partnerships and philanthropic contributions, Arthrex is proud to be growing and investing in Anderson County. Experience an exciting career with a company that's dedicated to healthcare technology innovation and making people's lives